You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Roman is a playboy, but one too many scandals has put his CEO position in jeopardy. He must find a nice girl, one that the board of Hemingway Industries would approve of, and get married before the new year. Maya is just the woman he needs, with her wholesome clean image. Roman is the one man who has ever held a place in her heart, but she has no plans of marriage, only philanthropy. So Roman must prove his love and earn Kamaya's trust, or risk losing it all. Everyone needs a little cream in their hot coffee. An Interracial Romance by Donna R. Mercer. For more information, visit www.donnarmercer.com. Hot coffee. Get your copy today. You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on the Mahogany Says Show. I'm your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we've got a great afternoon for you and evening. We have two special authors, so it's a double feature today. We have Barbara and Shatara Clark. Say hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, welcome to the show. It's glad to have you guys here. You are like new to me, so your first introduction to your books, I looked through, and I was able to get one of them, so I'm working on it. Especially one was very timely for me that Shatara, I believe you wrote, The Playbook.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yes, it was right on time for me since I'm currently going through a divorce. So it couldn't have been more perfect. So thank you.
Wow. You're welcome. That's awesome.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourselves, lady, starting with you, Shatara.
All right. Well, I am Shatara Clark. I wrote The Playbook kind of actually as like a test to see if I could actually publish my own book. And The Playbook, it was actually my first ebook that I wrote and published. I'm currently an English teacher, a high school English teacher. I've been teaching now for like 8 years, and I've always wanted to write. I started out as a blogger, and The Playbook really like rolled into that. But the thing about it, I had written 30 by 30 years before The Playbook. I just didn't know how to publish it. And after testing with the I learned how to publish, and then I went on to publish 30 by 30 as a paperback as well as the ebook. And then I went on to publish my mom's book, so she'll tell you more about those. And just now I'm currently just working, publishing other people's books as well, editing, writing for other people as a ghostwriter. Like, it has taken me on a whole nother ride. So it's just been amazing. So that's basically where I am. Still teaching, but doing a lot of writing and other stuff too.
That's great.
Other than
that,
I write.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
And Miss Barbara Clark.
Yes, I'm Barbara Clark, and I'm retired, and I just like to write and express myself through my books and what life has given me, what I've been through. And that's the way I feel about it. Basically that's what I do. And I just think of things that I've been through and just try to put it in words and let someone else see it. And it might help them, you know.
Definitely, definitely, because what we go through, we tend to mm-hmm. need someone who has been there before that can say, hey, you know, you can get through this. And this is
right,
what
right.
I learned from that. And older, as I think it's older women, we should teach the younger women exactly where they should, or at least according to the word anyway. So I think
right.
that's
exactly.
perfect. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So tell
right.
us, let me hear a little bit about the Behind the Trees, because I haven't read that one, but I looked at it.
Oh, yes.
So what were you inspired? Yes.
Okay,
what inspired you to write
that? It's my life. It's something that happened to me in 1978. And it just was a riveting experience. And I felt that it had to come out. I had to tell it after all these years. It's
mm-hmm.
been inside me, and it needs to be, it, you know, should have been told. And how we came through it, me and my family. And what happened. And I think you would really enjoy it when you read it. Everyone does.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It's, yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a true crime story.
It's
a true Alabama
true
crime story.
Okay.
So
it's true.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's true
oh,
crime.
Boy.
And it's a story I've heard all my life coming up as a child,
mm-hmm.
told by
mm-hmm.
my mother and my grandmother. And, you know, mom just was like, we need to write it. I need to write it. You know, I need to tell it. And that's what it's been about, just people knowing that it happened, because a lot of people didn't know that the situation happened. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of people know about the crime. Like, they knew about the incident because it was like a major, like it was some convict, so they had escaped prison. So it was a
really?
Statewide issue.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
they
wow.
knew about that, but they didn't know about our family's encounter with it.
Yes, how will we
oh.
interact with them.
Right, nobody knew about that part, you
right.
know.
Mm-hmm.
They
oh,
were
my
like,
goodness.
Wow, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So have you received any blowback from other people who may have been involved or since you published it?
No.
You mean like negative?
Yes.
Or,
no,
oh, no.
No,
mm-hmm.
no, no.
Well, that's good. That's
yeah.
good. That's really good.
I know
sometimes that can be good, but that can
truth.
Be an issue. Even with the truth, sometimes people don't want to face
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
They want to hear it. You know, you speak
yeah,
it in there. You know.
It was, yeah. It we basically kind of stuck with our family side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of the stuff, the historical facts, the newspaper articles, all of that is in the book, and everything is cited, like the citations
okay.
of where the pictures come from. So we made sure to cite everything, you know, things that we didn't say, you know, pictures that we didn't take. We cited everything. So
nice.
But yeah, but it,
oh,
and
awesome.
It happened so long ago. You know, it was a lot of research involved in that book as well. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This question is to Shatara. How
okay.
long have you been writing?
I've been writing probably since, writing little stories since I was a little girl, probably since like 8 years old. And I think at around the age of maybe 10 is when I really like knew that I could put stories together. And I have to credit my mom for my writing ability
mm-hmm.
because she's been writing for a while, but also because she took us to the library growing up. Like we actually... And we're from a small, small Alabama town called Cuba. But,
oh, okay.
But, yeah, so mom actually took us to the library. We had library cards. She read a lot, so we read a lot. And, you know, we were familiar with books. We just knew books.
Mm-hmm.
And we just knew stuff like that. And that's where my drive to write or knowing how to be creative with words and to play with words and stuff, that's kind of like my favorite part, to be honest. And so
okay.
that's where the love came from. So I've been writing probably since a very young child and just never really stopped, for real.
Oh, wow. And Miss
yeah.
Barbara, how long have you been writing?
I've been writing, well, started in school with me, but I got away from it because I wasn't, you know, coached into what my abilities could have been. But,
mm-hmm.
I started writing in school. I wrote this wonderful little story, but I got away from it. So, step back now. I'd say about about 3 or 4 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found my way back to it, you know.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how has writing and publishing your book, how has it helped you personally?
Are you talking to me, Barbara?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it helps me a lot to get it out of my system, to get it out. You know, when you have something in you, you feel it has to be told. It releases something. And you'd be surprised how people react to it. I mean, they are so, we didn't know this happened to you, you know. And
mm-hmm.
it's a relief. It's basically mentally helpful, like,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just helpful. You just keep stuff buried, you know. And
true.
It needs to be out. And
uh-huh.
it just gets it out there.
Yeah.
So you found it to be very therapeutic for you to kind of get it out of your system. And
therapeutic, yes.
Awesome. So have you always known you wanted to be a writer?
No, I didn't. I thought I wanted to be a singer. I sing also. But
okay.
Yes, but, you know, sometimes God can give you two gifts.
Yeah.
Yes, he gives you many gifts.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, but thankfully, those two things have you know, showed up.
They kind of work hand in hand sometimes, don't they? Because if you
it
like
does.
To write songs, then you could sing the songs that you write. So.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So how long have you always wanted to be a writer, or did you always know, Shatara?
I think I knew, like, I wanted to publish, but I just kind of had no idea how to do it. And for me, it's like not knowing how it works or just seeing how people say they spent these amount of $1,000s on it. That
right.
kind of had me like, wow, like, I'm going to have to save up. And then, when I saw people around my age or, like, people just coming out with books, I'm like, how are they doing this? And then that's when I started researching. So I think
mm-hmm.
I've known I wanted to be a published author for a very long time, but I part of how to do it kind of hindered me for a very long time as well. So,
okay. So what was that journey like for you in publishing?
Man,
once you...
just, it's like with 30 by 30, just having it in my Dropbox for so long. And when I would think about it, I would get sad because I would be like, I really want this book out there, and I don't know
mm-hmm.
how to do it. And then I would kind of push it to the back of my mind because I didn't have a solution to it. And
wow.
like, finally, I met someone who kind of guided me, and then she guided me a little bit more, and I was able to kind of figure it out, like, go back to – because what happened was CreateSpace was a thing, but I wasn't able to do it on there. Like, I couldn't figure it out. And then when it became Kindle Direct Publishing, that's when I was able to figure out how to self-publish. And then I found out
okay.
there's a lot of self-publishing sites. Yeah.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
There's lots of them.
Yeah.
And I
so
think KDP is probably just the most popular because of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because a long time ago,
yeah.
it was Lulu was a popular one at the time. And when I first
wow.
self-published, that's what I used was Lulu.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, but yep. their site wasn't large, yeah. But I'm
mm-hmm.
glad that Amazon is a huge like search engine for books. So the fact that
it
you
is.
Were able to do it through Kate, it really does help the self-published author tremendously.
Right.
So this question is for both of you. If you've had this, I don't know because you're just starting to really publish, but have you had any sort of writer's block?
For me, lately, well, so the last few books we had, Behind the Trees, okay, and then we wrote Jenny's Girls Together. That's another one that was on
mm-hmm.
my Dropbox for the longest, and that we finally, and I was like one morning, like, Mom, we go ahead and publish Jenny's Girls. I mean, it's ready, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
But I haven't written... I know we have at least two more that we're probably going to do together. But I don't think we necessarily have writer's block. I think time has been an issue for me. Like, by, now that I'm in a whole nother era, like, trying to, like, publish, helping other people and basically launch a sole proprietorship, I think that part has me now, which why I have put off a little bit, like next year I'm going to try to go ahead and get these next two. And I think once we sit down and say, okay, we're about to do it, it'll come out. Like, I haven't really experienced writer's block, just the issue with time.
And my point is putting it together, getting it together, getting the years, the dates, and everything in the right order. That's me. I have to get it together in my mind, and then I can do it then.
Yeah.
With your Tara guidance, I mean, it gets so easy. That flows. Once you start, she won't quit until it's finished.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely. Sometimes the story is just there and you have to finish. Otherwise,
you'll
lose
it.
If I don't write it down or. Exactly.
Well, it just goes. And like with Jenny's girl, it was just so beautiful, like bringing it together, because that's one that's like, it's a memoir of our family. So it's my grandmother and all my great aunt.
Okay.
And it's just a funny, comical, just Southern women just doing what they do, girl. and you know, and they all have their own personalities, which are very interesting. So that one just really just, it's them coming back to life. It's like,
that's right.
It's almost like they lived, and you know, they're all gone now, but in that book, they all come back.
That's
and
right.
It's
oh,
so
wow.
Amazing. Yeah.
So that, oh, that's great. So it's really about your family. That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, it's a memoir. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, since you are an English teacher, Shatara, what, in your opinion, are the most important elements of good writing?
Well, I think you have to know what you're writing about, what's your story, who's your target audience. Because in order to create a story or tell a testimony or break down scripture or whatever you're trying to do in a book, you've got to know where you're going with it, where you're going to start, where you're going, and where it's going to end. It's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it has to be that way. Like, and you have to not, you have to make sure there's not contradiction, there's not confusion. Like you can't be 13 in this paragraph and then in the same paragraph you 33. Like, you can't confuse the reader. You know, you just have to make sure.
That was a huge time jump,
like Yeah, and that's one thing that I always tell people, like, if anything else, I'll read your book to make sure it flows. Because if it does not flow, a reader will start your book and they will put it down and never pick it up again. Like, and people who buy your book will buy your book because they're your friends and they want to support you. Random strangers would not buy your book because nobody's going to tell them that you have a good book. Because if they picked it up and put it down and never finished it, they don't even know. Because they got confused. And that's one thing that I see that happen. So I just believe that a beginning, middle, and an end that flows and that's consistent, and you know where you're going to start, you know where you're going to end, that's the most important thing for me as far as writing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to a new writer? Someone that they've got the book, but they don't know how to publish.
Definitely say to just ask and reach out. Like, in our world now, and maybe I didn't see all of it before, or maybe it wasn't even here, there's so many author groups, writer groups on social media. And if
you
put a question out there, somebody will be willing to help you. And then people, and you can kind of use your discernment to weed out who should help you. I've had like a lady tell me that she reached out to me. She made a post. I commented. A lot of other people did too. But she said she contacted me because she went on my page and saw that I was a Christian and was like, I want her to help. So, you know, there's different, you know, you have to really make that determination. But if you have no idea what to do, definitely reach out and just try to get help, because it's easy to do. And it's very, it's not as difficult as it has been. And there are people who are willing to help. And also be prepared to invest.
There are a lot.
Like, I'm not saying that you're going to spend thousands of dollars, but be prepared to make an investment if you want your story out there. It's going to cost something. So
yes.
Just be prepared.
And
for
mainly
that
your
issue.
Time. It really does cost a lot of time, I've noticed, to put into and just to eat between marketing and trying to get everything together and spending time with the social groups and getting to know people on social media. It's a lot of time. That time is the one thing you really going to have to invest from what I can see and what I've experienced. So yes, and that is awesome. And I've been very fortunate and blessed to find a group of other authors and writers that have just literally, hey, this is how you do this, and this is how we're going to, and it's, great to see that there are not people and writers that just kind of back away, like, nope, I'm not helping you. But there's just so many that are willing to say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Try this one or do this,
Yeah, it's a
so
community
it's good
out
to see.
There willing to help, for sure.
Definitely a huge community, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Most definitely.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah.
So, when did you actually consider yourself full-fledged writer or published author? This question is to both of you.
For me, it was when 30 by 30 came out. Although the playbook was out, and I guess then I was, and I think a lot of people were excited, but I think I was confused because I didn't really understand what an ebook was. But I don't know. But it's like when that paperback came in the mail, and it was like, man, and people were actually buying it. I was like, and actually telling me that it was good and that they were learning. I think I was like, oh man, I'm an author, like for real, for real. And so I think that's when it was for me.
When it was for me, when I read my book myself, Behind the Trees, and couldn't put it down. I couldn't stop it until I finished it. I said, this is something here.
Yeah.
And then when people was buying it and they would come up to me with awe and, oh, that ending, I said, oh, I've got something going on here.
Yes. You definitely grabbed the attention.
Yes. I mean, it caught me. I knew I liked it, but, you never know what other people are going to say until they come up to you with that. Oh, that book, I couldn't put it down. Everybody, my husband got it, he couldn't put it down. And that was it for me.
Yeah. Well, see, there you have it. That's the largest thing if it impacts people that much. And
as soon as they
start reading it, never know what your life may be for someone else and what you have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that will help someone else, like, hey, you know what? Wow, she went through this and she came out all right. My life is not so bad, So that's awesome.
And they keep asking, when the next one?
And Mama was, now Jenny's Girls was a little different. Jenny's Girls, because of who my grandma and aunts were, it was a little bit more risque, I guess.
Yeah.
And so Mom didn't want to tell anybody at church about Jenny's Girls.
No, I didn't.
And so they found out though, and they were like, and I told her, I said, Mama, those people still gonna want to read the book. Like, it's a book.
Well,
exactly. It's not that bad. And they were like, y'all wrote another one and didn't tell us. And it was like, I'm like, Mom, it's a book. They're gonna want to read it. It happened. Okay, we can't change the past.
Because that's real. That's life. It is real and raw. I know as Christians we tend to think, okay, well, there's certain things we can't say or do, or And I write romance fiction, so everyone in my church knows, and my pastor knows. And I have not gotten any criticism or anything like that. So because we are human and these are things that we go through. So, if you're writing it with a positive message, I don't really see the issue. And, if anything, you might be writing someone else's life, because they might be going through the same thing. You think, well, nobody in church experiences this but me. Nope, not true. Because we have all sinned and fallen short.
Yep.
So,
That's the truth.
Yes, and that's the thing. We got to be real and we got to be open and honest with each other, because that's the only way we're going to keep going and be successful in our spiritual walk as well. So, that is amazing.
Yeah.
So, what time of day do you usually write, Shatara?
For me, okay, so a lot of the writing is done during breaks, because I'm a teacher, so mm-hmm. I'm pretty much drained when I get home. But a lot of the writing is done on break, and it's done, like, in the afternoon or in the morning. And to be honest, it could be done at night, too. Like, it just kind of depends. And I'm a person, I have to be doing something else. So if I'm writing, I'm also watching a series on Netflix. Like, I have to do, like, two things.
Yes, like, I can understand that.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. the juices still flow. Like, it doesn't stop anything. Like, I'm still good.
Right.
But that's when it'll happen at night if I'm watching Netflix. In the morning time or in the afternoon, I'm at a Starbucks or a Panera Bread. I'm at some place like that, and I'm drinking coffee, and I'm getting it done. So that's normally how that works. Now, if I'm
nice.
Doing that, it's definitely on a break, or it's on a Saturday that I've designated to do it. But if it's if I'm at home, sometimes I might be like, let me go and finish this, or let me go and knock this out. And I grab the laptop and just go ahead and do it. Like, sometimes it's like that, too, because I'm like, okay, what am I waiting on for real?
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know that, Ms. Barb, you said you were retired. So do you have more time for what's usually a good time that you write?
Yeah.
Because I know you're working on another book.
Yes, one in my head. It's coming.
Yeah. It's at least two more for sure.
Uh-huh.
That's coming
nice.
Out soon.
Mm-hmm.
But go
ahead. Yes. Any time of the day that something's pop up in me, my head, you know, I think
mm-hmm.
of something, I just jot it down, you know. And then, like I said, I have to put it all together, you know.
Nice.
And yes, I'm retired. And I do have more time than Chitara.
Yeah.
So I'm here all day, so I have all day to do it.
Yep, definitely.
So, Chitara, do you have any little ones?
No, I don't. It's just me. So that also gives me time.
That's a good thing.
Yep, because it's just me, so I have plenty of time, like nothing, no obligations other than my job. When we come together, it's a lot of time in the evening. Like most of the last two books, I knew those stories because I grew up with them. But
mm-hmm.
like when I needed a date or to know exactly the situation that happened, I would come to my mom and be like, and it could be any time of day. And I'd be like, Mom, so what year did that happen? And who was who? And who was married? Now, were they married?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I might have a question sometimes for historical accuracy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I have to ask her. And then we've even had to call my cousin back home sometimes to answer certain questions. So, yeah, he's
mm-hmm.
referenced in, I know, in Behind the Trees for answering questions because he knew some stuff that we had forgot. So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes we have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. That just comes with age, too.
Yeah.
Forget what you're doing sometimes.
Yeah.
Or walk in the room like, what did I walk in here for?
Yep.
So, what is the most difficult part about writing, would you say? And this is a question
time,
for both of you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Besides time, finding the time for me, about writing. Sometimes making sure, like I know you mentioned earlier about stepping on people's toes
yeah,
and stuff.
And the accuracy. Yeah.
And the accuracy and making sure that
mm-hmm.
you're not offending anybody.
That's right.
Because you don't know who's going to pick that book up and read it.
Yeah.
And you have to, even though, I mean, I have a law book and stuff, I research stuff, but also I don't want to offend anybody. Like I always tell writers or potential authors, to get grace and permission sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not the case, then do your best not to offend people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes some stories just have to be told. I mean, and if
right.
you don't mention somebody's name and you tell a story, I mean, if that's your outlet, if that's your release, it could be about, you know, molestation, abuse, anything. Some stories have to be told. I get that. But
mm-hmm.
If you can, try to get grace or at least do your best not to offend people. If you're going to tell a story, because even with Jenny's girls, there's a lot of stuff that happened with my grandma and my aunt that were serious matters, But, you know, we just did our best not to offend anybody.
The living families now.
Yeah, the living families now. Even though those people are
right.
gone, you know, you do your best not to offend their children, their grandchildren.
Right.
You know,
right.
not you're not. We're not out here. Authors are not out here trying to destroy legacy.
You don't want to bash anybody.
Yeah, it's just stories have to be told, though.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact of the matter. So I think for me, that's the biggest thing, is trying to make sure that I'm doing it tactfully,
right.
you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the same with me and my stories. I try to be tactful and not bash anyone, you know. But, you know, the truth has to come out. We just try to put it in a way.
Yeah.
That it won't offend the children, grandchildren and children who buy the book.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that makes sense, because you don't want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, paint their or change their memory of their loved one in any
right,
way or shape
right.
or form. Because we know we're not perfect, but, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to put people on a pedestal when they pass away.
Oh,
and
they don't put their heaven
back. Right.
Everybody go ahead.
You know, this person is, you know. Difficult
oh, like,
or whatever
okay.
it's been when they passed away. Oh, he was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, but he did such and such. You know, we got to tell the truth. But, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
so just so you won't ruin there. I'm sorry to spoil your, you know, idea of someone, but this is what they do.
Yeah, it's a culture. Yeah.
So I'm gonna ask some questions. What
okay.
would you say is your most interesting writing quirk? Do you have a certain ritual when you're writing, or is like I will sometimes snack on Twizzlers or like chew them when I'm trying to write, or listen to music, or is there anything quirky that you do?
With me, like I said, I'm gonna have some on that TV or on my other like I have 2-3 computers set up. If it be like,
oh,
I'm gonna watch. I'm gonna be watching something, some type of Netflix show. I'm gonna take breaks as needed, or like I said, either that or I'm gonna go to the coffee shop. And if I'm at the coffee shop, I'm also there watching Netflix as well. So I'm watching a show or something while I'm writing. Like I have
while you're writing,
have some type of simulation or something to laugh at, you know, while I get it done. Like I can't just sit there with just me and the computer. And music is not even my thing. Like, my thing is for real, a TV show or something.
Oh, wow.
And normally
okay.
something light. Not something that I have to, like, concentrate
pay attention
and figure
to.
Out. Like,
right.
Yeah, it's like something like The Parkers or something funny.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
You know?
Something funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Mine is I might see something on television that will remind me of something. And that's when I'll have to go and write it down then, because the TV, a story on TV might bring back something to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a quirk for me, you know. It helps me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're actually writing, Ms. Barbara, do you have anything like music or anything in the background while you're writing?
No. I'm not multitasking. I'm not quiet. I have to be quiet for me. My mind may wander on off on that song. No. No, I'm going to have to be in a quiet room.
Yeah.
Okay.
My Shatara office, I go in there when I'm writing something. I got to be quiet. It's no TV or anything.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, sometimes
mm-hmm.
I'll watch TV too. So and it's usually when I'm editing. That way,
yeah,
I'm not, yeah, because
mm-hmm.
it's like
the TV.
But when I'm writing, it's mostly music, yeah. So
right, the story. Just I have watched the TV and caught up in the story. Then I go in the office and write. Yeah, get my.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It can be too distracting, you know.
Yeah.
Now, do you also read? Do you read other books?
Yes, I love to read.
Yeah, I do too. I have a ton of books that I need to read and a ton that I have read. So, yeah, I do read other people's books. I have a lot of authors in my circle now, like, you
mm-hmm.
know, the law of attraction. So
yes.
So
that's right.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty much, everybody has a book, and so I have them, and I'm reading them. Even the children's books, like, you know, So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, do you think you would ever write a children's book? I mean, since you deal with teenagers and you said you are high school and with teachers, so. You're like, I know.
I help a lot of people as of late with the children's books, and it's fun. But I don't see myself writing it. I don't see me writing a children's book or, I mean, I feel like 30 by 30 was for preteens and teens. So I think that was good. And that's about as close as I'm going to get to even that. I mean, I know a lot of people who want to write journals. Like, I'm helping a lot of people do a lot of different things like that. But for me, I don't think that's my style. And them come together, though.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It's cool.
I know. They're children's books are a little more because of the illustrations and because of the age group that it might be for. So there's a lot more involved. Because I only have one children's book, and that was a lot that went into that. That people don't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, the story itself was short, but it's just everything else with it.
Yeah.
So are you on social media? You said you had some author groups, but do you have some with your readers? You have like a readers group that you interact with?
I did have one with 30 by 30. You mean a group that I'm over?
Yes.
Like a group. No, I had one with 30 by 30, but I don't have anyone right now in a group. That may come later. Because, you know, like managing those groups, it's a task for sure.
It
like,
is.
Managing those groups and pages, that's a task within itself. And I noticed like my posting decreases a lot during the school term. And so that alone is taxing. And then I also have a ministry and a nonprofit. So, to run together.
Okay.
And, you know, and I try to, like, stay organized. So I'm trying not to overflow. Like, I kind of be like, because some stuff, you know, you can kind of leave for other people. Like, maybe that might not be my thing. And I'm okay with that. Like,
right.
I don't have to have everything. So.
No.
Yeah.
You don't.
Right.
And
Ms. Barbara, what about you? All right.
I'm in a book club.
Yeah,
book
girl.
Club right now, and we will be doing Behind the Trees coming up in November. So we are reading that one, and we'll be discussing Behind the Trees in November, my book.
Okay, nice.
So that will be interesting. And we'll be exploring other books to read and discuss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they meet on Zoom. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice. Wow, that's okay. So we got the digital age here. Book club on Zoom. So we got everybody on camera watching with their books.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah.
I know. It's almost a necessity now with what we're dealing with with COVID. So it's amazing that we can still reach out to each other in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, Shatara, you said you have a ministry as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So Thai Talk is the nonprofit organization, which started from the blog, which was called Thai Woo Talk. Thai Woo is a nickname given to me by my father or my cousin. They both take credit for it, so I'm not sure. But one of them gave me the name. And so Thai Woo Talk was a blog, and it still is. But Thai Talk came about, and I just started this Bible study called Quiet Strength under Thai Talk. And so it started growing. And it has a Facebook group. And it started growing even more on Facebook than it does in the actual Bible study. Like, it just started growing. And there are other facets of it, things that you can participate in other than Bible study. So people just kind of participate in what they can. And so then we started helping people and doing other stuff. And so I established it as a nonprofit. It became a 501c3 earlier this year.
Nice.
And it's just been a great ride. Like, it's all about empowering women, like helping women become who God has called them to be, and like and being empowered and being okay with who they are and reaching out and doing what it is that they're supposed to be doing, because I think we all have something we're supposed to be doing. And it's important for us to know what that is. And I see a lot of people dibble and dabble in this that this thing or the next, and a lot of times we can't really figure out what it is exactly we're supposed to be doing. So Talk is that empowerment. It's so many women involved in it, from all walks of life, from the authors, from the ministers, to the business owners, to, I mean, all kinds of women, politicians, all kinds, lawyers, everything.
That's amazing.
So it's great. Yeah, so anything you could be interested in, there's somebody in there to connect with. So many creative minds. So,
yes.
So yeah, we've spent this season donating, giving. We have a great board of directors and a team, and we work together, and it's amazing. It's been beautiful. Just seeing it all come together legitimately, because it's been around for about 5 years now, but to become a 501c3 and to be legit, that's a whole nother level for me.
Yes.
Because it just puts you in a different caliber, and just seeing that happen and having that happen has been a very proud moment for us all. And so that's what Ty Talks is. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you just explained something that was going to be my next question about Ty Talks, because I saw that in your one of your titles on Amazon. It says, by Shy Ty Talks. I'm like, well, what is that? But you just explained it. So.
Yeah.
So that's great. I won't ask you that now.
Yeah, it's a nickname that has become a whole nonprofit now. So, hey, you know, the whole thing.
Great. Yeah, my mother had to get a 501c3, and I was with her when she applied for it. And I also put money toward when she got it for her nonprofit for transportation. So, yeah,
that's cool.
It's definitely
that is awesome.
And that is her ministry, and she called it True Light Transportation.
Oh, wow.
So that is her ministry as well as a job for her. So, and she
that's
loves
cool.
it. She goes everywhere.
Yeah,
she's riding the highways and byways. So, yeah.
So she like takes people places?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Elderly, take them back and forth, dialysis, hospital
that is
shopping.
So amazing.
Because here, where I live, there's no public transportation really. Here, we don't have like a bus or anything, so you actually have to call a cab. Or we're just now getting to the whole Uber and Lyft thing. So before then, there was nothing. So my mother started it to help the city because they they didn't have any buses. Or any place to, you know, and why pay a fee for a cab when you can get so many people to come in? And she's asked to, like, she started receiving, like, Medicare and stuff like that to pay for people's transportation.
That is.
Because there wasn't any here. So, yes. So, like I said, that's a desperate ministry for her as well. She's 70-something
yeah,
and just gone. And yep, she's just gone. She stays busy. She can't stay home. She cannot.
She saw the need and she fulfilled it.
That's right. That's exactly what she did. And she said that's
awesome,
her calling.
Because
she loves to loves to talk to people, and she loves to minister and lay hands on people and pray over them. And she don't even care who you are.
Amen.
She can't pray for you. She just grabs them. That's, no matter what they might be going through, if she senses it, she's like, can I pray for you? She'll ask you, but she's going to pray whether you say yes or not. So.
That's right. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Real.
Yeah, it's a privilege, really, to be able to help somebody. We just did all.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, we just helped someone this past weekend, and it's just a privilege. It's just a privilege and an honor to be of service to people.
Yes.
And that's the thing, yeah.
And that's what we should be doing as
exactly.
people and as women. We should be helping others.
Right.
Because there's always someone that's going to need something. And even sometimes we might get something out of it that it may have helped them, but it also helps us as well.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
So you never know. But
exactly.
Anyway, this question is for Miss Barbara. So when you were writing Behind the Trees, did you find it emotionally draining? Or did you find there were times where it pulled something from your memory that you had to kind of stop and step away from it?
Let me think. Yes, it was scary. It really was. It was a scary time for me and my family, and it brought back memories and brought back thankfulness that we made it through it without getting harmed. And yes, it helped me to get it out though. The feeling that I carried back then for so long. And to show thanks that God brought us through it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I had to step away from it for a little while, but go back and, you know, just get it out there.
That's great. I mean,
it's trying.
No. Because I know some, it can be triggers for someone else, you know, if, when they're reading something. Mm-hmm. I know some people who have gone through something and they read it, they might be triggered, but in a good way, because they'll see how you overcame it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives them hope.
Yeah.
So that's always a good
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. And to show, you know, how thankful we are to God that he brought us through that. It could
yes.
have went another way.
Definitely. From what I haven't read the book exactly, but just from reading the description and from what you have said, I'm like, oh yeah, I need to read this now.
Yeah.
yeah. And I think a lot of people would benefit from reading who have gone through something similar, or just to hear your story and be impacted
mm-hmm.
by it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know these are nonfiction, but is there any particular character? When you were writing Jenny's Girls, did you have a favorite or a favorite aunt or cousin or sister?
I think my favorite in Jenny's Girls was Aunt Lou. I can't remember. Aunt Mary Lou.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's my favorite
yeah.
because she's, I mean, in the book and in real life, like, because it was her, like, she just was very comical, but she didn't know she was comical. Like, I think it was just the stuff she
was. That's
just
the way she was.
That's just the way,
it was
she,
just the way
was.
She was.
And, yeah. But she probably, and then my grandma, Margaret, I think that was like, because her part wasn't as comical, but, I mean, it was who she was, too. I mean, they were just some very straight-up women. Like, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
they didn't care if their feelings got hurt. I'm going to need it. You had to be really thick skinned to even stand in their prison. Like, because you just never knew. Like, if you gained 2 pounds, okay, you done got fat. Like, they, you know, that's the type of stuff it was,
yes.
you know. And today we'd be like, you know, y'all know that kind of hurt people's feelings, but you just, that's how we grew up.
To them, it was a compliment
yeah.
to tell you were fat.
Yeah. I like it. But even, like, they didn't care about certain stuff, like education. Like, you know, certain stuff just wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college, and I just remember making all A's one time. And me and my mama were talking about it. My grandma was like, oh, that ain't nothing. And I'm like, had my self-esteem been low, that would have really bothered me, but I didn't really. I knew her. And I'm like, she just didn't know no better, you know. You just
yes.
have to understand that you should know better.
What was important to them was important to them.
Yeah. It wasn't
yes.
like, it didn't matter. It was like, okay, whatever, you know. See, between my grandma and her, them were my two favorite. I mean, I think I kind of like all of them because they all were different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every last one of them were just, they were just four different women. They were just different. Like, you wouldn't even know they were
four. Oh, you sure would.
And that way, yeah, the way they treated each other. They didn't treat each other like family. Yeah, it was just, that's who they were. That is who they were.
I think
that's
that kind of runs in every family because my mother's the same way. She just says what's on the top of her head.
Yeah.
Oh, you,
yeah.
You get,
and their
oh, you lose
mom,
weight.
Like,
uh-huh. They
yeah.
always pick it out.
And their mom, my great-grandma, I mean, she wasn't any better than them. Like, she just kind of fell in that too. So it was just
okay.
like, they couldn't help it. They really couldn't. So. But, I mean, all in all, they were great, you know, and they lived very long lives and, you know, and left a legacy behind them. So we just thank God for their lives, and they were great. It was just who they were, honey. It was just
And Miss Barbara, were there any special characters for you?
I think I liked it. My aunt Willie Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now she.
Oh my goodness!
Oh goodness, Willie Pearl.
Yeah, she was a character. For
my aunt Willie Pearl.
Mm-hmm. She was a character too. Like
yes, she was.
She yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's actually one part in the book that's really funny.
When she gave my mom clothes.
Yeah, my grandma had an incident where she was hospitalized, And when she came home from the hospital, Willa Pearl had given all of her clothes away in anticipation
of
her death. Like, she was like, well, we thought you died. Or we're gonna die. And it was just like a huge, of course, they fought a lot. So it was this huge fight about that. So it was just stuff like
goodness.
That they would do to each other that would make you be like, why?
Wow.
And that's, again, that's who they were. So
she gave away all her clothes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, all of them. Like, she's dying, so here you go. That type of thing.
Just wrote her off, poor lady.
And they were like that. Like, that was years before me, but growing up, I remember those two arguing all the time.
Yeah.
And then the sad part about it was when one of them would pass away, they would be devastated. And my mom would be like, y'all should have treated each other better. Like, why are you upset? Like, they would be so devastated. And they all passed away kind of like one by one with years in between. But they would be devastated. But they were so mean to each other. Like, they would argue all the time.
I mean, one
maybe that was just their way.
The next minute, it's blown up.
Yeah, and they would be hanging up on
goodness.
Each other. Like, my grandma would hang up on the phone. Like, she would hang it up so hard. Like, when she would be mad at her sisters. Like, and literally, they would just be so sad when something happened. Like, so sad. It did, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
That's who they were. I can't stress it enough. Yeah.
So do you have a website or anything that my listeners can look you guys up and find your books?
We are currently rebuilding the web. Follow me on Ty Wright, TYWRITES. And you'll see my picture. I'm in like a turquoise blazer. But Ty Wright, definitely where you can follow me for all information on our book, my booking site, if you would like services. I'm not taking any new book clients until January 1st, 2021. My current clients, I'm trying to really dedicate the rest of the year to them to get them situated, to get their books out. So I'm just not going to pick up anything new until January as of now.
Okay.
And but books are available. I'm working on a Gumroad site so that I can place some books on there as well. So just be on the lookout. You follow Ty Wright, everything will be on there. So.
Okay, so it's Ty Wright. Okay.
Yep.
And so they can find your books on Amazon. And is it just ebooks or are there also paperbacks?
Ebooks and paperbacks.
Ebooks and paperbacks.
Yep. The playbook is the only one that does not have a paperback. It's an ebook.
Yeah. That's it.
Yep.
And I have that one.
Yep. They
so
can
like
definitely
I said,
on Amazon. When I finish the Gumroad site, they'll be able to purchase signed copies as well from us.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's something to look forward to.
Okay. Well, definitely, because I know since we can't do like in person book signings because of COVID, so that's a really neat, nice thing to have, is that you're able to send out signed copies. Well,
oh,
great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Any last words, Miss Barbara?
No, this has been a pleasure talking to you.
It has. Yeah.
And thank you so much.
Yeah, thank
you're,
you. So
you're
much
most
for
welcome.
Yes,
yeah, I know some people are like, you know, this. I talk to different types of authors and not just staying within the romance genre because there's so many different types. And I don't read just romance books. I read all kinds of books, especially nonfiction books. And I have quite a few on my shelf. So I wanted to do my show to introduce people to all types of authors because there's all types of readers. So you never know which book is going to, you know, bless someone. And I really was blessed by your book, The Playbook, because I, like I said,
amen.
Just this time for me, it was like literally, because I looked like, I was like, okay, well, let me see who's, I'm going to be interviewing soon. Okay, yeah, oh, I need this. Because
right,
I was
so
like, oh, I need
playbook.
This. Because,
I mentioned The Playbook again. Yeah, like The Playbook was really, like I said, it was a test, but at the same time, I meant everything I said in it. So I'm glad.
Well, I'm glad. Because like I said, it was very, very timely. So because God always does things in a certain time. And when we get through things, we don't think about it until we actually see something. It's like, hey, you know what? And your book was like literally hello, you need me.
Wow, awesome.
Literally, when I was looking back through it and make sure to prep, you know, just so I can interview you, I started looking through, I was like, oh, you know what? Yes, this is definitely right on time, because no, it was not expected, and it was very unexpected for me the last couple months, but it
I want to say
just skiing that was just like a, because I had to kind of get in my head, okay, now that I'm single, now what? You know, because I wasn't expecting that to happen. So this is really, you know, so it's like God's way of saying, hey, you know what? I'm not forgetting about you. You're still important. Don't worry about it. You know?
Exactly.
I still got
that's
you.
Always the thing. What? Right. That's the thing. What happens next? What happens now? And that's so important that we know which way to go, because when we don't know, we're lost. So and that's not good. So, hey.
So I thank you for that personally. I thank you for that. So,
you're so
that was really
thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you again.
You are so welcome. Yes, you guys are welcome anytime.
I can't wait.
Yes, and for those just tuning in, we are talking with Barbara and Chitara Clark, and they are nonfiction authors who write some really good inspirational books, from the playbook Behind the Trees, which is a true story, and Sturdy by 30. And do you have any other titles you have coming up, or are those not?
We have working titles. As of now, nothing working. Oh well, I am writing a book with a friend out in Texas called Talking Points. It'll be coming out hopefully by the end of the year. So that is a book. It's a business related book to help people quickly get talking points out instead of like sitting through 2-3 hour seminars to get one thing across, just teaching them how to kind of get their elevator pitch together. So yeah, that'll be coming out.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely.
Well, thank you ladies for being on the show. And I enjoyed the talking with you and meeting both of you and hearing your stories, and definitely we'll be reading more of your stories. And I encourage my listeners to pick up the books. You never know.
Thank you.
So definitely.
Yes, exactly.
Because you never know what you're going to need. So this was right on time, because I know we had scheduled for another day, but you know, this is,
this
is God's timing. So, it just happened to fall in what needed to be. So I don't look at things, if things get canceled, I don't feel bad or upset about it, because I said, you know what, then it wasn't time, but now it is.
Exactly.
So we just kind of go with it.
Definitely.
Yes. Thank you. So we'll see
you all around,
and I will continue to promote your book, and I will let this air live again tonight so that people can listen in, and I will do some editing and put it on other platforms that my show is on. So definitely.
Awesome. So they just click the link, right?
Yes, ma'am. They just click the link and they can listen on in. So thanks again,
we'll
and thank
done.
You all for joining us, and you guys
thank
have a good
you.
Day. I wish you,
you
peace, blessings, and love. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you, and good night.